It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
I'm Shannon Bream.
I'm Bill Hemmer.
I'm Kennedy, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Wednesday, February 2nd, 2022. I'm Dave Anthony. Republicans say the year-long surge of migrants coming here illegally has border agent morale at an all-time low.
It's exceptionally frustrating for law enforcement saying, why am I putting my life on the line every day to be able to do this when everybody's just being allowed to be able to come into the country? They're just cutting them loose.
We speak with GOP Senator James Lankford.
I'm Jessica Rosenthal. What did officials know about the origins of COVID, and did that change rather quickly at the beginning of the pandemic?
You know, you were not saying that this research caused COVID, but we are saying that it's very suspicious that there was this effort to get around one narrative quickly.
We talked to Fox News special report anchor Brett Baer.
And I'm David Marcus. I've got the final word on the Fox News Rundown.
It's been this way for more than a year. Migrants surging to the U.S., and it's a strain on agents at our southern border.
The role that Border Patrol agents play ensuring security and safety at our borders is something that there's great value for in this administration.
White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki, but even the U.S. Border Patrol Chief Raul Ortiz admits morale is at an all-time low, and he got an earful from agents in a video shared with Fox by a Border Patrol source.
We continue to do the job and the mission that we signed up for. Right? We all signed up for. We all raised our hand.
It's kind of hard to say that.
To defend the Constitution, not the
agents. It's not hard to say.
For evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. That's exactly what's happening here. Good men are doing nothing. You're allowing illegal aliens to drop off communities.
You are doing something.
No, sir, we're not.
A Republican senator who wanted to see what's going on for himself went to the border over the weekend.
There's an ongoing chaos that the American people are not seeing on the southern border that you really don't see real reporting on in the depth of it until you actually can lay eyes on it to be able to see it.
GOP Senator James Lankford from Oklahoma went down to Texas.
We have 2 million people that have illegally crossed the border that we've interdicted just last calendar year, 2 million people. And when I talked to the Border Patrol about saying those are the people that you caught, how many people, what they call gotaways, that they actually identified and said they're over there, but we just don't have the manpower to get to them, but they know that they're there and they're moving. But they didn't catch them. And they said that number is up 90% from last year. 90%.
So
there's a tremendous number of people that are crossing the border illegally that we never interdict.
Okay. And so when you say that's up 90%, are we talking about the same 2 million type figure? Are we talking hundreds of thousands? How many are in the gotaways?
It's the great unknown at that point. So they can only document what they have seen in the bush or what they've seen somewhere else and picked up and said, okay, that's a group moving. I see 7 moving right there and they can't get to them and they get away.
Okay.
So they turn in that figure to be able to figure, okay, we caught this many, but we also had this many we weren't able to catch. And that number continues to climb as well.
That frustration that we've seen in these videos, did you get that when you talked to people too?
Oh, it's very real. It's very palpable. These are law enforcement professionals, many of them that have served 10, 20, 30 years on the line, actually protecting the nation. And if they're sent out at night, we're talking 2 a.m., going through heavy brush, interdicting someone that they are aware that there's someone there. They don't know if that's a family group coming through. They don't know if that's a cartel member moving drugs that's heavily armed. They have no idea who they're going and interdict. They're literally risking their lives to go interdict people. And then the Biden administration is just cutting them loose once they've been interdicted. It's exceptionally frustrating for law enforcement saying, why am I putting my life on the line every day to be able to do this when everybody's just being allowed to be able to come into the country? They're just cutting them loose. And part of the conversation that I heard in what's called the muster, the gathering of all the Border Patrol before they actually leave out for the evening, was Nicaraguans and Venezuelans. Now, if they're adult males from Nicaragua or Venezuela, they're just being released into the country. They're not even attempting to be able to actually deport those individuals. In fact, the night that I was there, just the night before, they had interdicted 5 Syrian males that they had actually interdicted. And one of the guys had picked up a member of the Nicaraguan military who had told him he was a part of the military, but he'd already been cut loose into the country. They were still questioning the Syrians there, but the member of the Nicaraguan cargo and military they'd already released into the country. We have no idea where he is now.
There were some other videos that also caused a stir. One shows a plane at Westchester County, New York Airport after landing in the middle of the night with migrants on board.
We don't really know anything. We're in charge of security. So that's hence where we're having a problem here.
It's two security contractors talking in footage obtained via a Freedom of Information Act request by former Westchester County Executive Rob Astorino.
I get the whole secrecy and all this.
What's the big secret? Everybody knows it's happening.
You know why? Because it gets out. The government's betraying the American people.
Kind of hard to hear. He says betraying the American people by the government. Now, the White House says that's not new war news. It was a flight in August of unaccompanied minors on their way to sponsor homes. Now, the other video shows adult males being bussed out of Brownsville, Texas, and into the interior U.S.
Yep, that's still happening right now. In fact, I went to an area called La Plaza, which is a parking garage in Brownsville. Actually went to that location to be able to see it. And they're set up full on where they're having Border Patrol literally drop people off there. ICE is processing them there in that parking garage, putting them on buses and taking them out either to airports or putting them on long-term buses to be able to ship them around the country. That's happening right now, especially with Venezuelans and Nicaraguans.
But again, the White House had said that they were not letting adult males into the country for the most part. So there's a disconnect here.
There's a big disconnect. And that's, again, why Border Patrol was so angry at this muster to say, what's going on? You know, we're actually doing this interdiction and you're just cutting them loose. Why is this stopping? Now, the White House will say, well, if they're from Mexico, we're turning them around immediately. But just this year so far, they've already picked up people from 60 different countries just this year. These are people coming from all over the world because they know the border's open. And if they cross it, they're going to get in.
Let me play you what President Biden said on Monday when asked about the border situation.
There's a whole lot of illegal movement, but there's also a way to begin to deal with the reason they're leaving in the first place.
Once again, root causes, a big issue in the White House, and the president had already tasked Vice President Harris with trying to figure this issue out. Where are we on that?
So there's two painful realities here. One is the president seems to miss. We live in the greatest country on God's earth. Everyone in the world wants to come to the United States. So it's not like this is new. He's, quote unquote, dealt with root causes when he was 8 years as vice president, never dealt with it at all then. And Kamala Harris is certainly not dealing with it. So that's a great press line that they can throw out there saying that we're going to try to deal with root causes. But when you're the greatest country on earth, the draw is who we are.
When you were down there, did you get to areas where there was wall construction going on?
I did, actually. So this is another thing the Biden administration is saying. We have pushed them for a solid year to say they stopped wall construction in that area, left these huge gaps in the wall where there would be 20, 40, 60 feet, sometimes a couple of miles, where the wall was actually in process of being constructed, and they just stopped it on January the 20th, 2021. So they've now said, well, we've restarted. We're closing those gaps. But if you go and look at the fencing that they're putting up, it's like a little picket fence that you could step over. That's the closing the gaps. In that area, they call it a guardrail. It's not a wall. And where you see where the Trump wall was up there before, which is 30 feet tall with the anti-climb, everything on the top of it. Now it's this short little stubby, what I call the precious little wall that's there in between it. It's a waste of money.
What about the families that have come over that are being held or detained? What's happening with them?
Families are all being released still. If they come over with a child or if they come over as a family unit, they're 100% all being released into the country. If they're a single adult male that's not from Mexico, the vast majority of those are being released into the country. And there's all this conversation about, well, they've got to get a COVID vaccine and COVID testing. That's actually not true. There's a testing that's required now, but they're not required to have the vaccine. So while the White House is trying to impose on federal workers and members of the military and private employers a vaccine mandate, they don't have a vaccine mandate for people illegally crossing the border.
Are they tested?
They are tested. That was not true a year ago when I was there or months ago when I was there. They have shifted that. Now they are tested, but they no longer, they don't have a vaccine mandate. They offer them a vaccine. If they say no, they say, okay, and they allow them to come into the country. I wish federal workers and members of our military and private employers had the same rights that people that illegally cross our border have dealing with the vaccine.
When they are allowed into the U.S., they are supposed to have a hearing, right, for their status at some point in the future?
That is correct. So they illegally cross the border. They're released into it. They're giving documentation saying in this city at this time, show up for a hearing to deal with your status. That hearing time now is 6 years in the future.
Six years
in the future. So they are illegally present in our country for 6 years until they actually have their first hearing to be able to determine whether they're allowed to be able to stay. If they don't show up for that hearing, no one's going to come looking for them. And it's been very clear from talking with Homeland Security and asking, are you pursuing people that haven't shown up for hearings in the past? The answer is no. They're saying, no, those aren't priorities for us. They list them as a priority, but they're not actually going after those individuals that are not showing up for hearings. And everyone knows it. And so what it creates is this rolling cycle where people cross the border illegally from whatever country they're in. They then text family members back home and say, I got across. Here's what I said. Here's what I did. Here's where I'm living now. Come join me. And the next family member actually comes across and they do it the exact same way. And more people are coming.
Have you had any conversations with the Biden administration or with even Secretary Mayorkas where you can find some common ground on some of these things?
Absolutely, I have. I keep in very open conversation. Just met with some of the leadership of Homeland Security yesterday. After being down there all this weekend, they came into my office yesterday. We walked through some of these issues. They give me this company line of, we're doing our best, we're trying, we're making amends, we're working with Mexico and trying to be able to manage all this. But they're not putting any leverage on Mexico. They're not pushing Mexico to enforce their southern border or their northern border. They're allowing cartels to be able to run their northern border. And Mexico is now saying, well, we don't want these folks brought back to our country. Once they cross your border, we don't want them back. And the Biden administration is doing no pressure on Mexico to actually take these individuals back other than the Mexicans coming through.
If somebody said, Senator, fix this, what would you do?
There are very straightforward ways to be able to fix this. One is the asylum process. We don't change the asylum process other than if people want to apply for asylum, they've got to remain right there at the border to be able to go through their processing. They're not actually allowed into the country. You start by saying whoever came in most recently, their hearing is up first. So it's not a matter of waiting 6 years for a hearing. Your hearing is going to be next week. And we go through the process. Most people that apply for asylum don't qualify for asylum. Asylum means I can't go anywhere safely in my country. Most people are coming because they've got a job offer from somebody in the United States or a relative in the United States, and they're coming to join them. That's not asylum. And so those individuals would be turned away. That would immediately send the message back, hey, you can't get into America anymore. And they would start texting their family members saying, don't come. It was a waste of time and money to be able to come because it's not working anymore. That's significant. We've got to finish the infrastructure with real infrastructure. It's one of the things Border Patrol wants is to say, we can better patrol if we can identify where people are going to move and we're limiting their access through infrastructure. And then the next big issue is they've got to have the personnel to actually do it and policy people that are going to back it up. It can be enforced. The Trump administration showed it can be enforced. There's just no will to enforce it anymore.
Well, the Biden administration says that it was inhumane. The Trump policy was inhumane and they didn't want people to come here. Didn't want immigrants to come here.
It amazes me. They always bring up there were 3 weeks time period. They did what they were calling separating families. You can argue about it one way or the other, but that only happened 3 weeks. The rest of the time, they were enforcing the law consistently, and it made an enormous difference in the number of people illegally crossing our border.
Senator James Lankford, Republican from Oklahoma, back from the border. Thank you very much for joining us.
You bet. Glad to be able to join you.
Precise, personal, powerful. It's America's weather team in the palm of your hands. Get Fox weather updates throughout your busy day, every day. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is David Marcus with your Fox News commentary coming up.
Last week, Fox News special report anchor Brett Baer produced a lengthy deep dive look at the origins of COVID from the perspective of what officials had been saying privately in the early days of the pandemic. Special report obtained internal documents from the National Institutes of Health showing Dr. Anthony Fauci, the head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, is warned COVID may have come from a lab in China, the Wuhan Institute of Virology. On January 27, 2020, he's told that NIAID has been indirectly funding the lab through money given to EcoHealth Alliance, a U.S.-based nonprofit that does work on novel coronaviruses. After immunology professor at Scripps Research, Dr. Christian Anderson, tells Dr. Fauci that the virus looks engineered, On January 30th, Fauci holds a conference call with colleagues. His deputy, Dr. Hugh Auchincloss, informs Fauci.
Later that day, Auchincloss confirms a study into experiments with the novel coronavirus funded through the NIAID may not have gone through proper biosafety review and oversight. He tells Fauci their staff will, quote, try to determine if we have any distant ties to this work abroad.
Fauci then has a conference call with virologists from around the world. That call included Dr. Mike Farzan, who asked, how much could be in nature, accidental release or natural event? I'm 70-30 or 60-40. Another scientist, Dr. Robert Gary from Tulane University, said he couldn't think of a plausible natural scenario where you get from a bat virus to NCOV. COVID.
I just can't figure out how this gets accomplished in nature. Of course, in the lab, it would be easy to generate the perfect 12-base insert that you wanted.
On that call, Fauci and NIH head Dr. Francis Collins are told about prior State Department warnings regarding lax safety protocols inside the Wuhan lab. Collins says after all this, he believes a natural origin is more likely, but a convening of experts in a confidence-inspiring framework is needed, or the voices of conspiracy will quickly dominate. Shortly after this, work published by some of the scientists on that call abandons the suspicion that the virus may have come from a lab. But in April of 2020, Bayer aired a report based on sources in which he says suspicions remain. COVID started in a lab.
The next day, April 16th, a frustrated Collins emails Fauci, wondering if there's something NIH can do to help put down this very destructive conspiracy. Collins' email includes a link to our special report and FoxNews.com reporting. A day later, Fauci replies, quote, I would not do anything about this right now. It is a shiny object that will go away in times.
Doctors Anderson and Gary, who'd expressed concern that this started in a lab but later reversed themselves in published works, won a nearly $9 million research grant from Dr. Fauci's agency. And Peter Daszak of EcoHealth Alliance got a $7.5 million grant. While Drs. Collins and Fauci have since then said they are open to the possibility that COVID came from a lab, they still lean toward it having natural origins.
The biggest thing that stands out is just what was happening privately versus what was happening publicly on this issue.
Brett Baer is the anchor of Special Report.
And it's just really stark, you know, that these virologists are coming to the likelihood, in fact, that it came from a lab, the Wuhan lab. And, you know, one goes as far as saying, I think it's 70-30. Others are saying, I just don't see how it's evolutionary in its formation. And yet, after this conference call and this back and forth, it gets completely turned around and it's a conspiracy theory. And it's just amazing what happens in 48 hours. And that's what struck me most.
Yeah, when you were reading through these emails that your team obtained, what was your sort of own evolutionary process as you were reading this? Were you like, oh my gosh, here it is. You know, here's exactly what we kind of had been wondering, because you had sources back early in the pandemic that were telling you that the lab leak theory was possible. Were you thinking, oh, this is very validating, but also troubling?
Yes, because, you know, after we did our report in March of 2020, we were called conspiracy theorists. And, you know, people in the media said this is way out there. It is a bit validating. We don't know definitively, obviously, because the Chinese haven't opened the doors. And we don't know definitively why this effort was made to not talk about what was being talked about privately. But you can make some circumstantial judgments about that. And, you know, possibly one of them, and this is what Senator Rand Paul talks about, is the U.S. funding of gain-of-function research at that lab. And maybe that's one of the reasons why they didn't want to talk about this.
You had said in the report that EcoHealth Alliance was the third party, right, that had received funding from NIH and had been doing work at Wuhan. What did you learn about Peter Daszak and EcoHealth Alliance? I know you shared in the report, but was there any more to that? Should there be more to that? Because the definition of gain of function was also changed, right, on government websites after all of this came out.
It was. And I think that's all part of it. You know, gain of function is essentially altering the virus to make it more a threat. And then the purpose of it is to come up with vaccines that can solve that. But there's a couple of things here. One is that this particular project through EcoHealth was funded by the U.S. Then the Obama administration put a stop to all gain-of-function research, a pause. However, this particular group, EcoHealth, was bypassed that pause and continued their work in Wuhan. And it was signed off by NIH. So that continued. And while the definition on the website changed, it didn't look like what they were doing changed. And add to that real concerns about the safety protocols and the procedures at Wuhan that were noted by the State Department in multiple wires and cables. And I think you add that together and, you know, you were not saying that this research caused COVID, but we are saying that it's very suspicious that there was this effort to get around one narrative quickly.
Back to the part where you had said early in the pandemic that you had sources that were saying, you know, the truth will come out eventually about what's going on. And if it really is, you know, maybe possibly from a lab, but that there was concern at the time. And I think you said it because a lot of our stuff, a lot of our PPE, even personal protective gear is made in China. What is your sense now about why officials didn't want to go down that road after all of this? And you addressed it, but is it just that fear of being linked, of being connected in some way to the Wuhan lab?
That's the why that we don't know definitively. But, you know, and that testimony is what Republicans on oversight and judiciary want to get to. I think in some of those emails, Francis Collins, head of NIH, says that for the good of science and the good of science in China in particular, it's important to get on the same page is essentially what he writes. And I'm guessing that that interaction plays into it, but that why is a big part of the next step in this story.
Were you surprised not only that the lab leak theory was tagged with information warnings on social media, but that now that it's a much more accepted possibility and that skepticism has reversed so quickly?
Yeah, I think it has turned completely. There are some virologists who are very aggressive now and believe there's no way that this level of a virus being contagious and jumping like it has could be from nature, from animal to animal to human. There are some like Dr. Redfield, former head of the CDC, who are convinced. Others are not sure. And the real question is whether we're ever going to know, because the Chinese have erased documents. They've dumped data. There are some scientists who are missing. And, you know, we still have not had access to Wuhan.
Brett, many, including myself, have been following Joe Rogan, and I listen to some of his podcasts, as have millions of others, that are being called misinformation with certain doctors. And while many are now calling for Spotify to dump Rogan and sort of end our ability to hear these conversations, someone tweeted this, and I want to share it with you. They don't think they're spreading misinformation. They think they have a valid point. They may be wrong, but that's different. Instead of accusing them of lying, explain why facts say otherwise. Given that the idea that the lab leak theory was once considered misinformation and a conspiracy, and what is deemed misinformation can change, how important is it to have these conversations, to question?
Well, it's really important, and we should never be in the position of canceling anybody's right to question. Even if it's controversial, it should be welcomed. You know, debate, facts, finding. You know, he's right, Joe Rogan, when he responded to that controversy, when he said, you know, it used to be you get canceled or erased from social media if you said that the possibility of a Wuhan lab leak happened, or that if you have the vaccine, you can still catch COVID. You know, if you said that, you were erased from Twitter or Facebook. And, you know, it's looking more and more likely that it may have come from that lab. And definitively, you can catch COVID, even if you're triple vaccinated.
Unfortunately, sadly. Brett, finally, what has happened since your piece aired, exploring the COVID origin story? I think we saw Benjamin Hall this week with a report from more scientists speaking up. But has anybody specifically reached out to you or your team to further validate this reporting or to react to it in any way?
We've had multiple people on. I mentioned Redfield. We had Jim Jordan on, who his committee, Congressman, he's the ranking member at Oversight, is trying to go down this road, but obviously they're not in the majority, and so they don't have the power to call a committee hearing. But they've had some people testify, and it sounds like they're going to continue that effort, and especially if they get the majority. I don't think this is going away. And people who say, what's the purpose? You know, why do this? You know, the origins of this are important to find out, no matter how we do.
One more finally, Brett. You said that you had shared the piece. It was a lengthy piece, of more than 11 minutes, with Dr. Fauci's office, and you hadn't heard back last week. Have you since heard from anyone at NIH or from Dr. Fauci's office or anyone with those offices, with National Institutes of Health?
No. And we provided the piece, we provided the different emails. We had a list of questions that have not been answered. And he's gone around the edges. Other people have interviewed him and asked something along those lines. And he continues to say it's most likely in his mind that it was natural, but it's possible now, which is opening the door, which he wasn't at the beginning. And but we haven't had a specific response to the piece.
Brett Baer, thank you so much for your time and for the work.
Thanks.
Did you hear the news? Now you can. With instant updates from Fox News for Amazon Alexa. Just say,
Alexa, play news from Fox.
In Fox News.
It's the latest when you need it. On demand from Fox News and Amazon Alexa. Rate and review the Fox News Rundown on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. It's time for your Fox News commentary.
David Marcus.
What's on your mind?
Truckers are a unique breed. There are very few jobs in modern Western life quite so solitary as driving a huge vehicle across the mostly barren landscapes of North America. Miles of road are coursed under heavy tires and light, thoughtful minds free to linger on their own devices. So the anti-vaccine mandate protest initiated by these modern-day cowboys in Canada is worth paying attention to. These are people who know a thing or two about freedom. In fact, they base their whole life around it. What is most telling about the reaction to the protest is the disdain being shown to these truckers by their own government and many in the media. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has dismissed the effort and apparently gone into hiding as the big rigs surround the capital of Ottawa. He claims that these men and women hold unacceptable views. Heaven forbid. You see, for politicians like Trudeau and so many leftists in Canada and the United States, it's not really COVID they are worried about. It's the idea that some people, specifically people who work for a living and aren't slaves to their handouts, have the audacity not only to disagree with them, but also to ignore them. Pandemic restrictions and mandates galore are easy to impose on urban dwellers with office and service jobs. They can be and have been crushed with the flick of a governor's pen. But denizens of the open road, without whom our modern miracle of an existence screeches to a hungry standstill, are not so easy to control. Most of us in the influencer class, the politicians and pundits, leaders of business, and those unsung heroes, Hollywood celebrities, don't think very much about how things actually get done. Toilets flush thanks to plumbers. Houses are built thanks to carpenters. And yes, store shelves are stocked, at least they used to be, thanks to truckers. The better sort of people with their degrees and acceptable views don't generally have to think much about any of this. But what the Canadian truck protest shows is that this is a two-way highway. The truckers are just as free to ignore the elites as the elites are to ignore the truckers. The key difference being that the elites don't produce much beyond noisy chatter. Over the past week, it has been noticed that the very influencers and outlets who have spent 2 years lecturing in favor of lockdowns have come to a "now it can be said" moment. Maybe kids shouldn't be wearing masks at school, the New York Times and the Atlantic suddenly opine. Perhaps there is nuance. We now hear from the buttery voices of NPR. Part of this is because lockdowns have led to embarrassingly bad poll numbers for the favorite party of the elite, but there is something deeper. There is an emerging recognition that regular people, the ones who actually do things and make society function, are under no obligation to listen to the bleatings of the supposedly powerful. Maybe freedom isn't dead after all. The time may be coming when robots push hogs across the vast stretches of North America, when we no longer need the obstinate, caffeinated men and women counting mile markers with empty packs of cigarettes. But that time ain't yet. For now, with the turn of a key, they can threaten those who seek to control them. It's a valuable lesson. When those who choose to live a solitary existence, who wish power over no one but themselves, decide to speak out, it's worth listening. And if the politicians listen carefully, they will learn something important. They work for the truckers. The truckers do not work for them. This is David Marcus, author of Charade, The COVID Lies That Crushed a Nation.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. Stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com.
Jason in the House, the Jason Chaffetz Podcast. Dive deeper than the headlines and the party lines as I take on American life, politics, and entertainment. Subscribe now on foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.